passage today, Proverbs 16, verse 31. Gray hair is a crown of glory it has gained in a righteous life. Our Father, we pray that you would open up your word to us now, that we may hear, that we may obey, and that we may rejoice in it. Amen. Proverbs are both simple and complicated at the same time. You can often get the basic meaning right off the bat, but end up missing the depth that is there. And we miss the depth because the simplicity of many proverbs is deceptive. You read through them and you're quickly going to learn a few lessons. Work hard. Don't be lazy. Gossip and lying are bad. Watch your anger and do what is right, no matter what. You can learn these lessons in a very quick read, and these lessons are good. They're right. Lying is bad. It's good. However, what often happens is that we bypass the path that led to the final conclusion, how the writer got there. How does he know that laziness is bad? We need to remember that these aren't just quaint quips of folk wisdom. They are truths that have been mined from the mind of the Holy Spirit as he inspired the writer to write them down as a part of Scripture. And there is much more than just the surface understanding. And it's a very good idea, instead of blazing through a whole chapter in Proverbs and just skimming along the top like a stone skipping over the water, only to have the truth soon sink down into forgetfulness, it's a good idea rather to slow down and just lower an anchor into the depths and take time to understand and so plumb the depths of this wisdom. It's kind of like flipping to the end of the book before you've read it to see who is still alive, hero saves the day, or if you just watch the final act of the movie to see what happens, because you're too nervous to watch the whole thing. Sure, you'll know who lives, and if there's a happy ending and all the rest, but you will have no depth of understanding, no connection to the story. You won't know how they got there, what the challenges were, how it almost didn't happen, all the struggles they had, and all that heart that you were meant to experience, that joy in their hard-won victory, it's lost because you have not gone on the journey with them. You end up taking a helicopter to the top of the mountain while they had to climb it. So yes, you got to the top, but the journey you took was vastly different from the one that they took, and so the reward that you get is vastly different than theirs. So with these proverbs, we want to take the journey up the mountain. We want to take the long way around and struggle a little bit to get there. We want to see how deep it goes by climbing as high as we can, to see what wisdom brought the writer to his conclusion. So let's see what we can see in our proverb today. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. What does that mean? People tend to be wise? Is that what it means? I suppose that's generally true. Old people generally have wisdom. But that would be the stone skipping along the surface of the water soon to sink down into forgetfulness. Elderly people tend to be wise, and that's fine as far as it goes, but it doesn't go very far. We want to get deeper than that. We all know how we can get gray hair. Just don't die. Keep living, and eventually you'll get to gray. If it doesn't fall out first, I suppose it can. But this way is easy. Just keep doing what you're doing. You eat your sandwich and you live. You will achieve the status of gray hair. And not only can you achieve that, you're already on your way. If you are alive, then you are headed in the direction of gray hair. And it's not much of an accomplishment, a little bit. You get your righteousness. Adding righteousness and not just years is the way to turn your gray hair into a crown of glory. There is gray hair that is just gray hair. Then there is gray hair that is a crown of glory. They are very different from one another, though they look the same. Just adding years gets you the look. That's your participation, chief. It's flying to the top of the mountain. You still got there. But... And this proverb is pointing out something else entirely. There is a type of gray hair that is a crown of glory. That kind doesn't come by just adding years. It comes by adding righteousness. So instead of skipping over the surface of the water, let's sink down right here and see if we can plumb the depths a little deeper. Why does righteousness create glory in old age? Why does that matter? And more importantly, how is it done? How do we do it? Older people don't tend to look glorious. They move slower. Their bodies are breaking down and getting weaker. They often need more help. They have growing health concerns. They're unable to do the things they used to do. They're less independent. That doesn't seem glorious. It seems burdensome and difficult. But here we are told that adding righteousness to long years adds gloriousness to those years. There is something powerful, something beautiful, attractive, desirable, indeed glorious about this kind of older person. Now we tend to think that young people are ablaze with all the glory of their youthful energy, their beauty and their strength and their life, and they are glorious in their own way. But they do not have this kind of glory. This is something else. That's a big mistake our culture makes over and again. We see the glory of youth, which is a real glory, and then we assume that they must have this kind of glory as well. The young people are given the respect that belongs to the aged, thrust into positions of leadership that they are unequipped to handle, and before you know it, you have the leaders of the world listening to Greta Thunberg. Children end up making decisions that their elders should be making. They are given power that they are unable to handle. Young people should be listening to the wisdom of the older people, but our society is busy giving this voice of authority to the young. The results are there to see. Now, this is not an insult to young people. Children have their own glory. And the Bible turns its attention to the older, to the adults, and say, you need to come to Christ like one of these children. There is a glory there. So this is not an insult. It's just biblical wisdom. Children may have innocence, purity, perhaps teachability, but they do not have the wisdom that comes from long years of righteous living. Children and parents are not equal when it comes to wisdom. We should not pretend that they are. We should not be insulted by such teaching. A child only gets this particular crown of glory by doing the work, just like everyone else. They may not have it now, but Lord willing, they will. The Bible says there is a glory that comes from long years of faithfulness, of righteousness. You may not be able to tell on the outside. Gray hair is just gray hair after all. By their fruit, you will know them. Those beautiful elderly saints who have such a power and a grace about them, who are unable to do so many things, but have come to know their God and they walk with him in the light. They have become mighty in prayer so that the very gates of hell tremble at their aged presence. No young man with all his strength has this kind of glory. No young girl with all her youthful perfection was ever so beautiful. This crown of glory comes from long years of righteousness. These elderly saints should have our respect. It is a crown of glory. They deserve honor in the church. They ought to be given first place in line at our potlucks, if I can say that. Amen. Amen. Instead of making them wait until everyone else is through, we because they're afraid of getting run over by all the overeager eaters who think for some reason that they should be first. These grand crawls deserve to be honored, and we would do well to listen to their quiet words of wisdom. No, they are not perfect, they will be the first to tell you that, but they have treasures, and they are more than willing to share them with those who would listen. So let's consider the long years of righteousness that leads to such a wonderful crown. I want one. What does it all mean? Well, here's where it comes from. Listen to this, Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Now this is the key. Righteous people suffer. Painful seasons in their life and how God has brought them through. He has rescued them from all their afflictions. They have done it again and again and again. God has brought them through, and through it all, their faith is not only intact, it is vibrant, it is strong, it is growing, it is young. And you recognize this royalty as they eagerly anticipate meeting their Lord as death draws ever nearer. The line, they don't get old, they just get younger. The relentless hope of the righteous elderly is a powerful thing to behold. That is something to see. For they have learned through many tests of their faith that God can be trusted. They live accordingly. That is the royalty of faith, belief showing itself in action. That's what produces holy royalty in a person. Particularly through affliction, particularly in suffering. So then, if the suffering, the affliction of the righteous, produces this kind of character, this hope, this joy, this royalty, then we need to look at the suffering a little bit, because if we are to get this particular crown, then we must be in the process of gaining it now. It takes a long time, and we need get started. So what does this kind of life look like? How do you get it? A crown of glory and not just gray. Now obviously it can look a lot of different ways. Everyone's life is different. But there's also a lot of common testing ground. Here in the church are trials that will yield a harvest of righteousness in a person if only they will walk the path. If you have been involved in church life for any length of time, you will already be seeing the truth of this. People are hard to get along with all the time. Amen. Leaders are hard to submit to. Amen. It's true. Having sin exposed is painful and frightening, both yours and others. Disappointments can run deep, can cause bitterness and resentment to grow. It's hard to be patient and understanding. Be loving and kind and gentle to those who frustrate you. Forgiveness is difficult. Living forgiveness out through reconciliation, that's even harder. How many times do you hear someone say that they forgive, but then they leave anyway, so they don't have to interact with that person anymore? That's common. Oh yes, you will find enough trials in the church to win you that great crown, I promise you. For those who have been at it for a long time, you know exactly what I'm saying, for you carry the scars of these afflictions and sufferings in your heart every day. And you will receive a crown of glory for it if you do not give up. There is a story of a youth pastor, you may have heard this one, who was applying for a job. And in the interview, the senior pastor who was interviewing him said, "Your resume says you have 15 years of experience. Tell me about that." And the youth pastor replied that he had spent his first 5 years ministering in a certain church, after which they moved, and he spent the next 5 years in a different church. And the last 5 years were served at a third church, 15 years in total. And the wise senior pastor replied, "Oh, you don't have 15 years experience. You have 5 years repeated 3 times. And his point is clear. Life in the church is very different in year 7 than it is in year 2. It is very different in year 15 than it is in year 7. You never get to the deep stuff in life if you remain in the shallow end all the time. As soon as real difficulties arise, you leave the room. If you walk away every time you're hurt, you will be hurt. Not actively practicing our faith in the life of the church will make you old before your time, and those who do that end up with just gray hair, and that's it. The church is a gift to make us holy, far more than it is to make us happy. Because the so-called happiness that comes from getting your own way and the joy that comes from holiness and suffering are as different from one another as gray hair when compared to a crown of glory. Do the hard things is a hard message to hear. Health, of course, is another common one. Many times, struggle with your health. We all will. From trouble sleeping to cancer to broken bones and illness, surgery and sickness, mental health, on and on goes the list. Our bodies are dying. All of us are dying and our health deteriorates. We suffer in our bodies. It can be very hard. And we must learn to trust God with our health. When we feel pain and fear and experience injury and disease, the unknown, where do we turn? Do we turn to God in trust? Do we trust in His sovereignty and His goodness? That is a trial we will all face. Many of you know exactly what this is like and how difficult it can be. That is a trial that will produce a harvest of righteousness for those who learn how to suffer in their body for the glory of God. You do that year after year, and you're going to learn heart will be steadfast in the storms of life, even as your body weakens. We are to rejoice when we face trials of many kinds, for there awaits a crown of glory for those who do. Now, of course, we can talk about finances. That's a big one. Learning to trust God in the area of money. Learning through the painful mercy of having our idols destroyed before our very eyes and turning to God in thankfulness for this mercy. We could talk of the difficulties in marriage, the long years of raising children, the sleepless nights of concern, praying, crying, teaching, disciplining, teaching again, forgiving, and loving so much that you feel like your heart is going to explode. We are to pursue righteousness for our whole lives in every situation that we are in. We are to pursue it always. It's not just for a season and then you can stop. We are called to do this from youth to old age. Day after day, you show up. The glorious crown of gray hair is won by a righteous life. Not just a righteous season. That's the call. Sometimes you hear the phrase, "I think I'm going to sit this one out." That is not the call here. Not for the Christian, not for us. The gray crown of the righteous is won by a righteous life, meaning you got to get out there. You got to mean it. You got to play for keeps. The righteous live their life. They don't sit it out. They try. They engage. They show up. They learn how to play hurt. They fall 7 times and get up 8. It is filled with afflictions, and for those who persevere, the Lord will rescue them out of them all. They pursue a righteous life. Listen, if we can't worship in the sanctuary, then we'll worship in the parking lot. If that gets outlawed, we'll worship in a field. We'll worship in a cave, maybe on Main Street if it comes to that. We'll worship in a tent. We'll worship in our cars. We'll worship in our hearts and in our homes, but what we will not do is sit this one out. The righteous life is lived. It is lived out there where suffering challenges our courage. That's the flashpoint right there. Where painful suffering rises up to challenge the courage of faithful Christians. Suffering will come. The courage of the faithful will answer. And the Lord will rescue you out from all of it. That's how it's done. That's how it's been for 2,000 years. That's the righteous life in action. So don't sit it out. Get out there and live. We need more men and women like Jonathan, remember, who attacked the entire Philistine garrison with only his armor bearer at his side. And his words then should ring in our hearts today. Nothing, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. That is belief in action. That is courage rising up to meet a threat of suffering. That's righteous living that leads to a crown of glory. Let us be a people of life, righteous life, faith-filled, courageous, those who show up and live for the glory of God in every situation. Let's win that crown of glory in old age, yes, but also the crown that is promised to those who in Christ do not turn back, but who persevere to the very end. Who is willing to suffer for their crown as Christ did? A disciple who follows his master. This righteous life is found only in Christ. All else is counterfeit. All else is only gray and no glory. It is our faith that overcomes the world, and we are called to overcome again and again as we press forward against the gates of hell in this rebellious age. It is Christ alone, in Him, that you will learn to live, that you will learn to suffer, to glory. That's the promise. Whether you have been a Christian all of your life, if you're 70 and you're a brand new believer, Jesus will take your gray and he will turn it into glory. It is Christ who gives you the power to live a righteous life. And when you fall, you will. He is always there to pick you up. He is always there to forgive, to reestablish your faith stronger than it was before, to rescue from every affliction. Do not run from the very grace that saves you. Don't sit your life out. Rather, pick up your faith and come. Life is waiting for you. Let these dry bones live a righteous life filled with affliction as God rescues his people again and again. As courage rises up in the face of suffering, God is glorified. We grow. And our gray, our very death, is turned to glory. First through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then for those who believe in him. It turns from gray to glory. Faithful courage in the face of suffering. That's the call. That's how you get the crown. So today, let us take courage as we take communion. Right here is the promise of a righteous life and a crown of glory. There is grace here for you, no matter how you may have failed this past week. No matter. There is grace for you. For those who turn to Christ, he will forgive. He will rescue you from every affliction. That is his promise. He will turn your gray into glory. So come with faith, come with hope, come with joy, and feast on this grace of righteousness given to you. It's yours. He shares his suffering with you, and he will share his crown. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we have come. We put our faith in him, and in him we find hope. And Lord, we pray then for courage to rise up in the face of our suffering, whatever it is, in our hearts, in our homes, in our families, in our work, in our country, in this world, whatever it may be. May we rise up with courage because we know in whom we have believed. We put our faith in the promise that you rescue your people out of every affliction. Lord, give us this courage that we may rejoice, that we may encourage one another, that we would hear the words of the righteous aged who have this crown, who tell us, keep going. Those dear saints of relentless hope, may we hear those words as they cry out to us who are younger, keep going, keep going. drawn. Build your church here. You are our God, we declare it. And we follow you, Lord. Make us and find us faithful. Every day and every way to every task, we love you.